Cambridge International Examinations. International General Certificate of Secondary Education. June Examination Series 2015. English as a Second Language. Extended Tier. Listening Comprehension. Welcome to the exam. In a moment, your teacher is going to give out the question papers. When you get your paper, fill in your name, centre number, and candidate number on the front page. Do not talk to anyone during the exam. If you would like the recording to be louder or quieter, tell your teacher now. The recording will not be stopped while you are doing the exam. Teacher, please give out the question papers, and when all the candidates are ready to start the test, please turn the recording back on. Now you are all ready, here is the exam. Questions 1 to 4. You will hear 4 short recordings. Answer each question on the line provided. Write no more than 3 words for each detail. You will hear each recording twice. Question 1. A. What does Rakesh like best about his new bike? B. What is the main disadvantage of the bike?
I like your new bike, Rakesh.
Yes, look, it's got special tyres for mountain biking. That's what I was looking for. It's also got these high-tech lights, which are useful, but I very rarely cycle at night.
It sounds perfect.
Well, it's a bit heavy and it was expensive, but well worth it. Would you like to have a go?
I like your new bike, Rakesh.
Yes, look, it's got special tyres for mountain biking. That's what I was looking for. It's also got these high-tech lights, which are useful, but I very rarely cycle at night.
It sounds perfect.
Well, it's a bit heavy and it was expensive, but well worth it. Would you like to have a go?
Question 2. A. What attracts the woman's family most about New Zealand? B. Why is Marion staying in England?
Why do you want to live in New Zealand? Your family is very settled here.
We've always liked the idea of living in Australia or New Zealand, but when we started to look into it more closely, New Zealand was the winner.
But why New Zealand?
Well, after going there on holiday, we all liked the idea of exploring a new culture. But it was the beautiful scenery that made our minds up, and we all like water sports.
What about your daughter? Is she going with you?
Marion loves New Zealand and she's a keen surfer. She loves her job here, though. That's why she's found a lovely new flat to rent. She says she'll come over to visit next year.
Why do you want to live in New Zealand? Your family is very settled here.
We've always liked the idea of living in Australia or New Zealand, but when we started to look into it more closely, New Zealand was the winner.
But why New Zealand?
Well, after going there on holiday, we all liked the idea of exploring a new culture, but it was the beautiful scenery that made our minds up, and we all like water sports.
What about your daughter? Is she going with you?
Marion loves New Zealand and she's a keen surfer. She loves her job here, though. That's why she's found a lovely new flat to rent. She says she'll come over to visit next year.
Question 3. A. What unusual item does the Tutankhamun exhibition have on display? B. What colour is the tour guide's favourite scarab beetle?
Welcome to the Tutankhamun exhibition. Thanks to the Egyptian Museum in Cairo, we have the original burial mask, and it's very rare for this to be removed from its resting place. All the scarab beetles in the glass case were found near Tutankhamun's body. In ancient Egypt, these represented rebirth. Look at that lovely bronze beetle. The gold one with the long legs really grabbed my attention, though. I love this one. Welcome to the Tutankhamun exhibition. Thanks to the Egyptian Museum in Cairo, we have the original burial mask, and it's very rare for this to be removed from its resting place. All the scarab beetles in the glass case were found near Tutankhamun's body. In ancient Egypt, these represented rebirth. Look at that lovely bronze beetle. The gold one with the long legs really grabbed my attention, though. I love this one.
Question 4. A. What is the problem with the train in front? B. When will the next announcement be made?
We'd like to inform all underground passengers using this line that the next train will be delayed. The train ahead is stuck in the tunnel because it has lost power. No more trains can arrive until that train moves down the line. A team of engineers is working on the problem, and we're expecting a 20-minute delay. We apologise for any inconvenience caused. Passengers already on the train, please do not be alarmed, as the lights will be switched off in 5 minutes, and they will be off for as short a time as possible. We'll have more details for you in 10 minutes. Many thanks for your patience. We'd like to inform all underground passengers using this line that the next train will be delayed. The train ahead is stuck in the tunnel because it has lost power. No more trains can arrive until that train moves down the line. A team of engineers is working on the problem, and we're expecting a 20-minute delay. We apologise for any inconvenience caused. Passengers already on the train, please do not be alarmed, as the lights will be switched off in 5 minutes, and they will be off for as short a time as possible. We'll have more details for you in 10 minutes. Many thanks for your patience.
That is the end of the 4 short recordings. In a moment, you will hear question 5. Now look at the questions for this part of the exam. Question 5. You will hear a talk given by a man called Stanley Chung with an unusual hobby. Listen to the talk and complete the details below. Write 1 or 2 words or a number in each gap. You will hear the talk twice.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming along this evening to find out more about how to become a writer of quizzes like me. You'll get to meet lots of really interesting people and pick up all kinds of interesting facts and figures. You'd be surprised how many people and organisations request quizzes. Lots of people enjoy taking part in quizzes, where they compete in teams to win prizes. Usually they just do it for the fun of it, but sometimes they raise money for charity. People often get together after work and compete in teams at local venues just for fun. Other quizzes are more serious, where teams focus on specialist topics and prepare weeks ahead in the hope of beating the opposition. Most quizzes ask questions on general knowledge, and I find those relatively easy to compile. These include topics such as sports, music and history. People really enjoy the picture round where they have to identify famous people. I've been interested in quizzes for a long time now, ever since I was young. In those days, I used to set them mainly for teenagers, but nowadays they are much more popular with adults who remember taking part in quizzes when they were children. The quiz I'm working on at the moment is for doctors, which is very different from the one before, which was all about music. It's a new subject area for me, so I'll need to do some research. In the past, I've written them on world explorers and geography, which required a lot of reading on my part. Occasionally, a quiz evening can end quite unexpectedly. For example, I was asked to organise a quiz for some people really interested in food. I was packing up to leave when the doors opened and in came a team of people carrying trays of delicious treats. Not cakes or sandwiches, but different kinds of exotic fruit I'd read about but never tasted. Wonderful. Another bonus is that I often get invited to unusual places by the people hosting a quiz evening. Last month, I gave a quiz on an open-top tourist bus, and next week I'll be on a cruise ship, which will be docked here for 3 days. The quiz evening is part of the entertainment programme, and my quiz will be based on the passenger's voyage. I can't wait. It should be great fun. And as for the future, well, I've been approached by a manufacturer of games to see if I'd be interested in devising quiz games for their website. Not something I've done before, but fortunately, they've suggested I get together with one of their web designers who will help me. I'm rather nervous about the prospect, but I'm going to give it a try. And who knows? If it's successful, people all over the world could be enjoying my quizzes.
Now you will hear the talk again.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming along this evening to find out more about how to become a writer of quizzes like me. You'll get to meet lots of really interesting people and pick up all kinds of interesting facts and figures. You'd be surprised how many people and organisations request quizzes. Lots of people enjoy taking part in quizzes, where they compete in teams to win prizes. Usually, they just do it for the fun of it, but sometimes they raise money for charity. People often get together after work and compete in teams at local venues just for fun. Other quizzes are more serious, where teams focus on specialist topics and prepare weeks ahead in the hope of beating the opposition. Most quizzes ask questions on general knowledge, and I find those relatively easy to compile. These include topics such as sports, music and history. People really enjoy the picture round where they have to identify famous people. I've been interested in quizzes for a long time now, ever since I was young. In those days, I used to set them mainly for teenagers, but nowadays they are much more popular with adults who remember taking part in quizzes when they were children. The quiz I'm working on at the moment is for doctors, which is very different from the one before, which was all about music. It's a new subject area for me, so I'll need to do some research. In the past, I've written them on world explorers and geography, which required a lot of reading on my part. Occasionally, a quiz evening can end quite unexpectedly. For example, I was asked to organise a quiz for some people really interested in food. I was packing up to leave when the doors opened and in came a team of people carrying trays of delicious treats. Not cakes or sandwiches, but different kinds of exotic fruit I'd read about but never tasted. Wonderful. Another bonus is that I often get invited to unusual places by the people hosting a quiz evening. Last month, I gave a quiz on an open-top tourist bus, and next week I'll be on a cruise ship which will be docked here for 3 days. The quiz evening is part of the entertainment program, and my quiz will be based on the passenger's voyage. I can't wait. It should be great fun. And as for the future, well, I've been approached by a manufacturer of games to see if I'd be interested in devising quiz games for their website. Not something I've done before, but fortunately, they've suggested I get together with one of their web designers who will help me. I'm rather nervous about the prospect, but I'm going to give it a try. And who knows? If it's successful, people all over the world could be enjoying my quizzes.
That is the end of the talk. In a moment, you will hear question 6. Now look at the questions for this part of the exam. Question 6. You will hear 6 people talking about travelling. For each of speakers 1 to 6, choose from the list A to G which opinion each speaker expresses. Write the letter in the box. Use each letter only once. There is one extra letter which you do not need to use. Speaker 1.
I enjoy travelling by sea because when I was young, my family had a boat and we used to do a lot of sailing in the summer holidays. These days, my job involves working abroad, so getting to my destination quickly by air is very important. I used to get nervous, but now I enjoy the chance to have a rest before my business meetings. Some of my colleagues prefer not to use public transport as it's so crowded and will only go to places they can get to by car.
Speaker 2.
I used to travel to work by bus and I really enjoyed it, as I saw the same people every day and we chatted regularly. The service was very reliable and not too expensive. To be honest, I've never been a big fan of train travel, but there's so much traffic nowadays, it's more convenient to catch the train to avoid the traffic jams. Ideally, I'd love to walk to work every day, but I can't see that happening any time soon.
Speaker 3.
I've recently retired from working on cargo ships, and we used to travel around the world, so I spent most of my working life on board a ship. It was a great opportunity to visit lots of different countries which I wouldn't have been able to see otherwise. I grew up on a farm, and now I have more free time and money so I can pursue my childhood passion for horses. I'm really lucky as I can walk to the stables, which are just round the corner from my house.
Speaker 4. My ambition is to work as a flight attendant, as I like flying. And I applied to an airline this year, but didn't get in. So at the moment, I'm working on a cruise ship. We work long hours, but the social life is good, and I discover that I enjoy life at sea. I organise sporting activities for the passengers. And walking around the deck, you get wonderful views. I don't regret this new career because I think this is a brilliant way to see the world. Speaker 5.
As a college student, I could use the free bus service, which is very convenient, and most of my friends use it. I must say, keeping fit is important to me at the moment, though, so I'll make an effort to go on foot whenever I can, even if it means getting very wet at times. My mother offers to take me in her car, but I'm determined to stick to my exercise plan. It gives me a good chance to get some fresh air before sitting in the classroom all day listening to the teachers.
Speaker 6.
As a businesswoman, it's important for me to be able to travel around the country to meet up with my different managers. People are always telling me the train is great because it's easy to work while you're travelling. I have a sports car, so I prefer to be independent and not rely on public transport, as being on time is essential in my position. This job can be very hectic, so at weekends, I make sure that I take time out to go walking if the weather's good.
Now you will hear the six speakers again. Speaker 1.
I enjoy travelling by sea because when I was young, my family had a boat and we used to do a lot of sailing in the summer holidays. These days, my job involves working abroad, so getting to my destination quickly by air is very important. I used to get nervous, but now I enjoy the chance to have a rest before my business meetings. Some of my colleagues prefer not to use public transport as it's so crowded and will only go to places they can get to by car.
Speaker 2.
I used to travel to work by bus and I really enjoyed it, as I saw the same people every day and we chatted regularly. The service was very reliable and not too expensive. To be honest, I've never been a big fan of train travel, but there's so much traffic nowadays, it's more convenient to catch the train to avoid the traffic jams. Ideally, I'd love to walk to work every day, but I can't see that happening anytime soon.
Speaker 3.
I've recently retired from working on cargo ships, and we used to travel around the world, so I spent most of my working life on board a ship. It was a great opportunity to visit lots of different countries which I wouldn't have been able to see otherwise. I grew up on a farm, and now I have more free time and money so I can pursue my childhood passion for horses. I'm really lucky as I can walk to the stables, which are just round the corner from my house.
Speaker 4. My ambition is to work as a flight attendant, as I like flying, and I applied to an airline this year, but didn't get in. So at the moment, I'm working on a cruise ship. We work long hours, but the social life is good, and I discover that I enjoy life at sea. I organise sporting activities for the passengers, and walking around the deck, you get wonderful views. I don't regret this new career because I think this is a brilliant way to see the world. Speaker 5.
As a college student, I could use the free bus service, which is very convenient, and most of my friends use it. I must say, keeping fit is important to me at the moment, though. So I'll make an effort to go on foot whenever I can, even if it means getting very wet at times. My mother offers to take me in her car, but I'm determined to stick to my exercise plan. It gives me a good chance to get some fresh air before sitting in the classroom all day, listening to the teachers.
Speaker 6.
As a businesswoman, it's important for me to be able to travel around the country to meet up with my different managers. People are always telling me the train is great because it's easy to work while you're travelling. I have a sports car, so I prefer to be independent and not rely on public transport, as being on time is essential in my position. This job can be very hectic, so at weekends I make sure that I take time out to go walking if the weather's good.
That is the end of question 6. In a moment, you will hear question 7. Now look at the questions for this part of the exam. Question 7. You will hear an interview with a radio presenter called Heather, talking about her job. Listen to the interview and look at the questions. For each question, choose the correct answer, A, B, or C, and put a tick in the appropriate box. You will hear the interview twice.
Hi, Heather. How long have you worked here at the radio station as a presenter?
I've been employed full-time here for 6 years, but I also worked part-time before that for 3 years, so I've been involved with the station for 9 years now.
What did you study at university that led into radio work?
My father wanted me to study law. I was more interested in politics, so that's what I studied at first. Partway through my second term, I changed to journalism.
Tell us more about your early work at the radio station, Heather.
In the first few months, I was sent out to do live broadcasts about how the weather was affecting people in the local area. There was some local flooding at the time, and many people were affected and had to be rescued from their homes by boat. I wasn't too anxious because everything was so well organised. I didn't get much sleep, so I was really worn out at the end of 2 or 3 days. But for the rescuers, it was very satisfying to help the people, and I was very reassured to see them reach dry land safely with their furniture and possessions. I even saw a piano being carried in a boat.
Have you ever had any opportunity to work abroad?
Yes, on several occasions. I was sent to India last year, to Kerala, to interview some local people about a charity project to build a new school. I had the opportunity to interview some of the local people who showed me around the clinic that the same charity had built a couple of years before. I hope to go next year if the charity can raise enough money to build a new library.
You must have met some very interesting people over the years.
Yes, I have actually. I'd better not mention any names. But I interviewed a very famous pop star, someone I really admired. She arrived really late for the interview and refused to take her sunglasses off, which made it difficult to interview her. Recently, I also interviewed a famous tennis player who always appears rather quiet and shy in public. But in the studio, she was really friendly and outgoing, and we had a great time. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to interview a top fashion model, and that should be wonderful, as I love her style.
Do you like doing phone-in programmes?
Well, they can be interesting depending on who phones in. It can get very tense occasionally, because these programs have no script and we might be taking a chance because we never know who's going to call and how they'll react. More often than not, we get really tedious people who want to go on for too long, and that can become an issue.
If someone wants to work in radio, what advice would you give them?
When I started out, I was told I should get some voluntary work experience. But these days, there's very little need, as radio stations give good training on the job. One thing I never imagined was how important it is to work on the way you speak and to sound natural when using a microphone. Some people suggest interviewing your friends, but it's not the same as being in a real studio.
What's the best part of your job, Heather?
Well, I didn't go into this career expecting a lot of money, although some top presenters earn huge amounts. I often meet celebrities, which is exciting, and they frequently give me tickets to their concerts, which is what makes the job really worthwhile.
So, Heather, what would you say was your proudest moment as a presenter?
Well, I was really surprised when I won the prize for Young Presenter of the Year, and my family were delighted. Last year, I finished my first novel, and I'm hoping to find a publisher. And that would be brilliant, but it's a very competitive world. Looking back, it sounds really dull, but being offered a full-time contract has been the high point of my career so far.
Well, good luck, and thank you very much for finding time to answer my questions.
Now you will hear the interview again.
Hi, Heather. How long have you worked here at the radio station as a presenter?
I've been employed full-time here for 6 years, but I also worked part-time before that for 3 years, so I've been involved with the station for 9 years now.
What did you study at university that led into radio work?
My father wanted me to study law. I was more interested in politics, so that's what I studied at first. Partway through my second term, I changed to journalism.
Tell us more about your early work at the radio station, Heather.
In the first few months, I was sent out to do live broadcasts about how the weather was affecting people in the local area. There was some local flooding at the time, and many people were affected and had to be rescued from their homes by boat. I wasn't too anxious because everything was so well organised. I didn't get much sleep, so I was really worn out at the end of 2 or 3 days. But for the rescuers, it was very satisfying to help the people, and I was very reassured to see them reach dry land safely with their furniture and possessions. I even saw a piano being carried in a boat.
Have you ever had any opportunity to work abroad?
Yes, on several occasions. I was sent to India last year, to Kerala, to interview some local people about a charity project to build a new school. I had the opportunity to interview some of the local people who showed me around the clinic that the same charity had built a couple of years before. I hope to go next year if the charity can raise enough money to build a new library.
You must have met some very interesting people over the years.
Yes, I have actually. I'd better not mention any names. But I interviewed a very famous pop star, someone I really admired. She arrived really late for the interview and refused to take her sunglasses off, which made it difficult to interview her. Recently, I also interviewed a famous tennis player who always appears rather quiet and shy in public. But in the studio, she was really friendly and outgoing, and we had a great time. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to interview a top fashion model, and that should be wonderful, as I love her style.
Do you like doing phone-in programmes?
Well, they can be interesting depending on who phones in. It can get very tense occasionally, because these programmes have no script, and we might be taking a chance because we never know who's going to call and how they'll react. More often than not, we get really tedious people who want to go on for too long, and that can become an issue.
If someone wants to work in radio, what advice would you give them?
When I started out, I was told I should get some voluntary work experience. But these days, there's very little need, as radio stations give good training on the job. One thing I never imagined was how important it is to work on the way you speak and to sound natural when using a microphone. Some people suggest interviewing your friends, but it's not the same as being in a real studio.
What's the best part of your job, Heather?
Well, I didn't go into this career expecting a lot of money, although some top presenters earn huge amounts. I often meet celebrities, which is exciting, and they frequently give me tickets to their concerts, which is what makes the job really worthwhile.
So, Heather, what would you say was your proudest moment as a presenter?
Well, I was really surprised when I won the prize for Young Presenter of the Year, and my family were delighted. Last year, I finished my first novel, and I'm hoping to find a publisher, and that would be brilliant, but it's a very competitive world. Looking back, it sounds really dull, but being offered a full-time contract has been the high point of my career so far.
Well, good luck, and thank you very much for finding time to answer my questions.
That is the end of the interview. In a moment, you will hear question 8. Now look at the questions for this part of the exam. Question 8, Part A. You will hear a man giving a talk about a museum. Listen to the talk and complete the notes in Part A. Write one or two words or a number in each gap. You will hear the talk twice.
Welcome to this talk on the Museum of Zoology. As you all know, the museum is currently closed while some major redevelopment is taking place, but it's scheduled to reopen next year, which we are all very excited about. Let me begin by telling you briefly about the history of the museum. It actually dates back to 1814, but moved to its present site in 1865. The original museum building was knocked down in 1965, and a new building was erected on the same site. It reopened in 1973 with large modern display galleries, which were a leading example of best practice in zoology museums at that time. The current redevelopment will bring the museum into the 21st century. There are three major elements to the redevelopment work. Firstly, there will be a dramatic new entrance to the museum. It'll be made of glass, and known as the Whale Hall, and this will provide a safe home for an entire skeleton of a finback whale. This is the largest on display anywhere in the world, so it deserves to be in a spectacular place. The entrance will be 2 floors high, enabling visitors to see the skeleton either from the ground level or from a walkway, which will take you from the entrance through to a cafe, all on the first floor. Inside the museum, the display areas have been redesigned, which means that visitors will be able to see much more of the museum's vast collection. And another very important part of this project is to build new stores, which will make it possible for the museum to preserve its collections for future generations. There is no room for expansion in the current stores, which has been an issue because the museum's collections are constantly growing. The museum has always been very popular with students and school groups, so there will also be new facilities with these visitors in mind. There will be a large activity room, providing space for schools to provide lessons or give demonstrations, and also what we call a discovery space, which focuses on local wildlife and will contain displays and hands-on activities for school groups. Before I continue, I'd like to show you some pictures of what the new museum will look like. So, here on the screen are some of the architect's images, and I hope you agree that they really do look quite spectacular. We're hoping that the new design will help to attract thousands of new visitors, yourselves included.
Now you will hear the talk again.
Welcome to this talk on the Museum of Zoology. As you all know, the museum is currently closed while some major redevelopment is taking place, but it's scheduled to reopen next year, which we are all very excited about. Let me begin by telling you briefly about the history of the museum. It actually dates back to 1814, but moved to its present site in 1865. The original museum building was knocked down in 1965, and a new building was erected on the same site. It reopened in 1973 with large modern display galleries, which were a leading example of best practice in zoology museums at that time. The current redevelopment will bring the museum into the 21st century. There are three major elements to the redevelopment work. Firstly, there will be a dramatic new entrance to the museum. It'll be made of glass and known as the Whale Hall, and this will provide a safe home for an entire skeleton of a finback whale. This is the largest on display anywhere in the world, so it deserves to be in a spectacular place. The entrance will be 2 floors high, enabling visitors to see the skeleton either from the ground level or from a walkway which will take you from the entrance through to a cafe, all on the first floor. Inside the museum, the display areas have been redesigned, which means that visitors will be able to see much more of the museum's vast collection. And another very important part of this project is to build new stores, which will make it possible for the museum to preserve its collections for future generations. There is no room for expansion in the current stores, which has been an issue because the museum's collections are constantly growing. The museum has always been very popular with students and school groups, so there will also be new facilities with these visitors in mind. There will be a large activity room, providing space for schools to provide lessons or give demonstrations, and also what we call a discovery space, which focuses on local wildlife and will contain displays and hands-on activities for school groups. Before I continue, I'd like to show you some pictures of what the new museum will look like. So, here on the screen are some of the architect's images. And I hope you agree that they really do look quite spectacular. We're hoping that the new design will help to attract thousands of new visitors, yourselves included.
Question 8, Part B. Now listen to a conversation between two students about the museum and complete the notes in Part B. Write up to three words or a number in each gap. You will hear the conversation twice.
Well, I'm really looking forward to seeing the museum when it reopens next year.
Me too. Have you seen their website?
Yes, I had a look at that straight after the talk. I found out quite a lot about the redevelopment, which is interesting.
But so expensive. I know they got funding to pay for most of it, but apparently the museum had to ask the public for £3 million as well.
And the whole thing is costing £18 million. It's incredible, isn't it?
I suppose that amount of money's worth it if they can get so much more on display. I read the museum has about 4 million specimens in all, but before this work started, they could only show about 5,000 of them at one time.
So they'll be able to keep the popular exhibits on display, but bring new ones out too. The giant sloth is most people's favourite, but I'm looking forward to seeing the Asian elephant. It's been locked away for ages, which seems such a shame.
I agree. I bet the museum will be fairly busy when it reopens. Everyone will want to check out the new displays. And schools too, because of course they haven't been able to go there on school trips since the development work started.
But I read the museum has been doing special visits to schools instead.
And they have packs of material which they lend to schools for teachers to use. So the school collects a box, which contains lots of things relevant to a particular topic, takes it away, uses it in class, then returns it within 2 weeks. There's one called Shell Detective. It has lots of different shells in it from beaches all over the world. And another one called Under the Sea, which has different species of underwater wildlife to learn about.
It'll be good when schools can go back there on trips, though. And they'll be running their special events again from next year.
They do all sorts of events. There's one called the Festival of Ideas, which I like the sound of. And also there's National Science Week. More people turn up for that than for any of the others. There were over 3,000 visitors for the last one.
Wow. I like the fact that all sorts of different people go to this museum, and hopefully will do when it reopens. People come from all over the world for a variety of reasons. I read that some just want to work out what an animal is that they've found on their travels or in their back garden. And there are artists who want to study something for their work. They're not just people interested in science, it seems.
Well, I'm definitely going to go as soon as I get the chance.
Me too.
Now you will hear the conversation again.
Well, I'm really looking forward to seeing the museum when it reopens next year.
Me too. Have you seen their website?
Yes, I had a look at that straight after the talk. I found out quite a lot about the redevelopment, which is interesting.
But so expensive. I know they got funding to pay for most of it, but apparently the museum had to ask the public for £3 million as well.
And the whole thing is costing £18 million. It's incredible, isn't it?
I suppose that amount of money's worth it if they can get so much more on display. I read the museum has about 4 million specimens in all, but before this work started, they could only show about 5,000 of them at one time.
So they'll be able to keep the popular exhibits on display, but bring new ones out too. The giant sloth is most people's favourite, but I'm looking forward to seeing the Asian elephant. It's been locked away for ages, which seems such a shame.
I agree. I bet the museum will be fairly busy when it reopens. Everyone will want to check out the new displays. And schools too, because of course they haven't been able to go there on school trips since the development work started.
But I read the museum has been doing special visits to schools instead.
And they have packs of material which they lend to schools for teachers to use. So the school collects a box, which contains lots of things relevant to a particular topic, takes it away, uses it in class, then returns it within 2 weeks. There's one called Shell Detective. It has lots of different shells in it from beaches all over the world. And another one called Under the Sea, which has different species of underwater wildlife to learn about.
It'll be good when schools can go back there on trips, though. And they'll be running their special events again from next year.
They do all sorts of events. There's one called the Festival of Ideas, which I like the sound of. And also there's National Science Week. More people turn up for that than for any of the others. There were over 3,000 visitors for the last one.
Wow. I like the fact that all sorts of different people go to this museum, and hopefully will do when it reopens. People come from all over the world for a variety of reasons. I read that some just want to work out what an animal is that they've found on their travels or in their back garden. And there are artists who want to study something for their work. They're not just people interested in science, it seems.
Well, I'm definitely going to go as soon as I get the chance.
Me too.
That is the end of question 8 and of the test. In a moment, your teacher will collect your papers. Please check that you have written your name, centre number and candidate number on the front of your question paper. Remember, you must not talk until all the papers have been collected. Teacher, please collect all the papers.